In a world that can be challenging and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So excited to be here with you tonight. Thank you so much for joining me and for joining my wonderful guest who's here with me tonight, Joey Hurl. And Joey is an international yoga movement teacher and also is someone who is just passionate about infusing joy in people's lives and reigniting the joy in all of the people that she works with. She's coming to us from Byron Bay, Australia. I'm just honored to have her here with us. Thank you so much for being here, Joey.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what you do. I'm so fascinated. I know you put on amazing retreats there in Byron Bay and probably all over the place. Tell us a little bit more about what it is that is really lighting you up right now.
Sure. So my passion, as you said, really is helping others to awaken joy within themselves. So I do that through a number of different ways, but recently created a practice called Mana Kai, which uses breath work and movement and visualization to help people clear any stories, any energy, any patterning that isn't serving them anymore, so that they can awaken joy and they can create the life that they really want to live. So it's really through a combination of a number of different techniques that I have embodied and used over time to help me move through darker times and awaken joy within myself.
So the one part I forgot to mention at the beginning is you also are this amazing breathwork coach. So I'm imagining that's part of the Mana Kai as well.
It is, yeah. So different types of breath. The breath's so powerful. It's such a simple tool for us to use, obviously, and something that have with us from birth, and something that not enough of us really access each day. Our bodies breathe naturally for us, but actually tuning in and consciously breathing is a whole different experience, and it's super powerful.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, this morning, I think I was sharing with you, I was on a radio show and I was teaching listeners to do this four square breathing, which is very simplistic, right? Where you do the exhale for four, hold for four, inhale for four, hold for four, and you continue to repeat that. And the two producers that were on the show with me were practicing it as I was teaching the audience and afterwards reported, even after just a short period of time, feeling present, feeling just relaxed and relieved for the first time since Thanksgiving. And so it's amazing how it can be so simplistic yet so profound.
Absolutely. And the squarity, and it's actually used by Navy SEALs. So it's such a simple yet powerful technique that Navy SEALs will use to calm themselves down in high pressured situations. So I think that in itself just proves how powerful the technique is. It is super simple. It's literally, as you say, it's breathing in, starting with a count of four, holding for four, releasing for four, and then holding for four. So it's kind of in it. You can draw a little box as you're doing it that helps you remember. But yeah, it helps to move you away from that fight or flight kind of experience of the mind, and it activates your parasympathetic nervous system. So really helps to calm you down, to calm the mind down, but also the body as well.
Yeah. So it's really, it starts releasing the hormones and the different things that we need so that we can kind of, this activated brain, I think, that tends to jump on board, I think, in these times a little more than usual. So that fight or flight you were talking about, yep. We can watch the news and all of a sudden it feels like a life or death situation in our brain. So to do this breathing that's always available to us, it can really do that profound shift. Like you said, our parasympathetic nervous system comes on board and we're really able to relax emotionally, physiologically, let down. What a gift. So I'm curious, what else is in Manukai?
So it combines the breath, as we've just mentioned, but also movement's a huge part of it. So my background is as a yoga teacher. So I'm trained in vinyasa, in yin yoga, and more recently in tantric hatha, and a little bit of qigong as well. So the practice really incorporates lots of different styles of movement. There's a lot of free expression in there as well, which I feel is super important, because really what we're trying to do with Manukai is help people move from their head to their heart. And once we move to our heart, we can really access that bowl of light that sits within each and every one of us. The word mana itself in the name stands for your innate spiritual greatness. So the whole practice is around really accessing that inner ball of light so that we can achieve greatness and we can really start to transform our lives through these really simple practices. The movement side, the practice is really evolving all the time. So it very much incorporates yoga, incorporates that kind of freestyle movement, the qigong. Honestly, at the moment, every single day I'm practicing and I'm creating, and every time I actually go to teach a class or a workshop, something new kind of evolves. And that's kind of the beauty of this creative process at the moment. So the perfectionist in me wanted everything to be perfect before I first started, but and that's the Virgo in me as well. But I'm really learning to tune into that kind of feminine energy and to just be with the flow and the ease and flow of that creation. There's so much beauty in that. And every time I teach a class, I kind of learn more and more what works for different people. So it is very much evolving. But the feedback that I've had on every practice is just the power that this has on people's lives, and like how much it can change somebody's outlook on life or like their energy in one practice. So it feels super, super powerful. And I'm excited just to keep evolving.
Yeah. Well, and thank God that you're doing that. I was thinking when you said, you know, it's continuing to evolve, how wonderful, because that means that you're just open to continue to grow and to get more information, right? And so it's like you are serving at the highest level possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we let go of things needing to be perfect, which is, to be honest, how I've kind of lived the majority of my life, like wanting everything to kind of be a certain way and, you know, wanting myself to be a certain way, that's a big part of my journey and my story. I think when you start to let go of that and just kind of move more with the flow of life, so much beauty can come from that. My background really, or my backstory is just one of really being very, very hard on myself, and a lot of beating myself up, a lot of negative self-talk. And this, you know, comes from things that happened in childhood, as it does for all of us, you know, whether it's at school, whether it's at home. actually came from a very loving home. But I, for whatever reason, had this voice inside of me from as long as I can remember, just telling me that I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not flexible enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not clever enough. You know, all of those things, which I think a lot of us do tend to focus in on. And for many, many years, that those very strong, loud voices have held me back with, you know, what I'm creating and what I'm doing in the world. But there's always been something inside of me that knew that there's more that I'm on this planet to bring to the world. And so more recently, probably in the last couple of years, I've gone very, very deep on a healing journey, which has helped me to get to know that voice and not just constantly hate on that voice, that, you know, the shadow, but actually get to know the shadow and to understand kind of, you know, the stories behind that. And this practice really has evolved through this healing journey that I've been on. And really starting to love all parts of myself. So even the parts of me that are mean to myself, loving those, because there's some protection there. There's some safety there that my ego is trying to create. So, I've been sitting in kind of that perfectionism, and now I've moved almost the other way, just to kind of, you know, just getting things out there without a lot of planning goes in, but without knowing exactly how that's going to look. And then when you turn up to a workshop or a class, kind of in that energy, that flowy energy, so much magic can come from that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. You know, and I'm so reminded that as we heal and do our own healing, then we truly do become just a clear conduit to help other people heal as well. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I really want to talk with you, kind of dig in a little bit about how you were able to embrace this shadow side of yourself, and how do we transform it? How do we start? Not that we don't ever have a shadow side, because I think it's about some of what you were saying, embracing it. And also, what are the changes you've seen in your life as you befriend those shadow aspects of you? So join us, come on back. There's so much more ahead as I am here with Joey Hurl. See you right after this break.
Are you at a crossroads in the middle of a life change? Tune in to Grow Your Spirit with Rosemary every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is where she will do her best to guide you to your own divine light within. Rosemary is a life coach and loves helping each of you discover the truth and harness your unique gifts. Visit RosemaryD.com to schedule a personalized one-on-one session or complimentary discovery session. Let's light up the world together.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So thrilled to be here with the wonderful Joey Hurl. And Joey has been chatting with us about her Monokai technique that she's using to help people really find, ignite their joy, find that place within them. And Joey also was sharing with us before the break about how she's had to go through some of her own struggles, as all of us have gone through. I always say nobody gets out of this life unscathed. Nobody gets out of childhood unscathed. Even those of us that had wonderful childhoods, right? We pick up somehow these messages about not being enough or not being right. And, you know, I really resonate with you with the whole perfectionist thing. That's, you know, I'm a recovering perfectionist myself. And so I so get it. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, this part of you that you had to really befriend, this often, you know, referred to as the shadow part of yourself, the part that was the critical self, the part that was saying you're not good enough. Talk, if you will, a little bit about that process.
Absolutely. To be honest, it's still a process that I'm going through. So I'm very much kind of in the middle of that at the moment. But I think for a long time, goodness, my healing journey really started, and my spiritual journey really started about 6 or 7 years ago. And I was very interested in, you know, the Tony Robbins of the world and all of these books about achieving greatness and, you know, being the best that you can be. And for me, I think at the time, I felt like I was on this journey of fixing something. So I was on this journey of wanting to be better, wanting to be good enough, wanting to be, you know, greater at the skills that I bring to the world, or a better friend, you know, better in relationships. And what I've now come to realize is we don't need fixing, but for a very long time, I think this healing journey that I was on was actually, I felt like I needed to be somebody else. And really that is part of the shadow. And something, goodness, even in the last 6 months, I really realized is the whole journey of self-love and really, you know, remembering who we are at our core, it doesn't just mean loving. It's very easy to love the light side of ourselves. So I didn't understand why I couldn't get to a point where I fully loved myself, because I think the point was I was still, you know, hating on these parts of me that I didn't think were good enough, you know, like I said, like not being a good enough friend or not having enough wisdom to share or, you know, whatever it might be. And only recently I came to realize that actually fully loving ourselves and fully tuning into our inner light and our soul really comes down to loving all parts of ourselves. So we all have light and dark. And there's so much beauty in that. I think we tend to hate on the darkness, but it helps to balance us out as humans. And loving and integrating your shadow really means loving all of you exactly how you are in this moment. You know, we are perfect as we are in this moment right now. And understanding that and really feeling that and embodying that is a big part of embracing the shadow. So whatever comes through, whatever thoughts come through, whatever you do in the day, not hating yourself for not being perfect or not being able to express yourself perfectly or whatever that might be for you, is super important and a huge part of the journey that I've been on and I'm currently on.
Well, it's so beautiful, you know, and I think as you share that, Joey, I'm so reminded that it gives all of us permission to just also show up authentically. And yeah. I think when we, you know, meet people that are trying so hard to be perfect, we feel that pressure within us like, oh my gosh, I better show up like that too. Yeah. And so it's really lovely and so wonderful to feel like, oh, I can relax, because I have been in the personal development and mental health field for 33 years, and there's not one person I have met, from CEOs to brain surgeons to heads of departments at the university, you know, people that worked for the attorney general's office. I mean, you know, all walks of life, all the way to railroad workers or, you know, yoga teachers like yourself. I mean, so every single person, we carry around these other aspects of ourselves that we don't always look at as favorable.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for us that we instantly want to reject those parts of ourselves and say, oh, I don't like that about me. So I just want to, you know, cut it off. And we may have been talking about this in our last conversation. You know, it's like when we do that, it's like cutting off your arm. You know, it's those shadow aspects are a part of you. So instead of cutting your arm off, it's like, how do I integrate this?
Absolutely.
How can I love these parts of me? And interestingly, they don't have to change for me to love them.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. I was at a party recently, actually. I'd just been really exploring the shadow. And so I'm I would say an extroverted introvert. So I love my own time and I spend, I was going to say a lot of time by myself. I don't. I love connection. So I'm kind of quite balanced between the two. But sometimes in social situations, I can get social anxiety. It depends where my head's at on the day. Sometimes, you know, I'm confident and feel very, you know, calm and free. Whereas sometimes I might get in my head and feel, you know, I might not know as many people and I feel that social awkwardness. And there was a moment at a party recently where I would in the past kind of really hate on that side of me and just be like, oh, you know, why am I so awkward in these situations? Why can't I just be, you know, open and free like everybody else? And then I just had this realization that that awkwardness is a part of me. And there's so much beauty in that as well. There's that vulnerability behind that. And if that is in this moment, authentically who I am, then that's what I've got to love as well. And I had this moment where I was like, I love that I'm like slightly socially awkward, like, you know, in certain times. I was like, there's something like sweet and, you know, charming about that as well. So it's it can literally show up in every area of your life. And it's a journey. It's not like you just one day going to be like, I love my shadow. I love every part of me. It's just in every moment, taking a breath and taking a moment of stillness and thinking, okay, this is where I would normally be hard on myself. How can I shift that thought pattern? How can I turn this from a negative into a positive? And that's just what I've started to do. And life has just become so much more joyful and freeing and liberating. Because when you truly live from the core and the essence of who you actually are, there's so much beauty in that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, that's absolutely the truth. And I'm sitting here thinking that's, you know, that's my experience as well. And I'm wondering for you too, one of the things that really works for me personally is when I show up in those moments of insecurity or vulnerability, if I'm with someone that I'm close with, is just to name it, you know, and to be able to speak it. And then all of a sudden in that moment, as I'm like, I'm just feeling totally vulnerable right now. It's so interesting how that energy shifts. And I'm not saying it so that, oh, now that I'm brave and courageous, it's as I say it, I let go of some of that energy and I can just kind of laugh and be with where I'm at. And I love what you're saying that I don't, you know, we don't have to show up and always be the confident, you know, thought leader or whatever, that we can actually have those moments of being like, yep, so totally human right now.
Totally. I think the other side of that is we have no idea of other people in the room, that what their story is, you know, what they're feeling in that moment. So you might look around the room and think, God, everyone's, you know, so confident and so charming, or, you know, whatever else you see. But we have no idea. And I think we make up stories in our head as to what other people are thinking or they're thinking about us. Whereas every single one of us has, you know, has some of those stories going on in our mind as to, you know, what other people are thinking of them as well. And that comes from our childhood. That comes from every experience that we've lived. So I think before we start to assume what's going on in other people's minds, it's more, again, it's just tuning into our own body and our own magic in every moment and connecting in with that. And yeah, and the beauty of the individuality and how we are all so different, but yet we're all so connected. And that's another thing I've been really focusing on. And that comes within the Manukau practice as well, is the connection between all of us, and not just us as humans, but, you know, nature, like everything on this planet, we are all connected by energy. And there's, again, so much beauty in that. We're all one. And you hear spiritual leaders talk about us all being one, but like, it's physics. Like, we actually are all one in terms of energy. So I think when you tune into that as well, you feel less alone and less separated from everybody else in a room or everybody else around you. And you're like, yeah, we're just all in this thing called life together. We're all just doing our best, you know, given our past experiences. Everybody's just in this moment doing their best to, you know, be the best human they can be.
And so in those moments, I'm really curious, Joey, for you, how do you tap in? You know, how do you tap into that sense of connection? Because I know, as you were saying, there's times we can really get in our own heads.
Yeah.
You know, and go like, I'm the only one feeling this way. I'm the only one awkward. So how do you shift from that into this sense of connection where you're like, oh, yeah, and everyone's probably feeling this way?
Yeah, good question. I think it's all, you know, it's all very well going to a yoga class or a Manukau class, or, you know, going to something specifically which does really help you tune into your heart. But if you're in a situation where you just have a moment, you know, you might be at a conference or something, or you might be in a work situation where you just, within a, you know, a few moments, you do just need to quite quickly tune in without being able to do some yoga poses and whatever else, and, you know, a full breathwork practice. For me, the main way that I move from my head to my heart is, again, the breath. So it might just be taking a few deep breaths. I might just take myself away from a certain situation. So say if I'm at a party, I might just take myself, I don't know, even to the bathroom or to another area of the room, and just tune into my heart and tune into my breath. So I think when you connect your breath with your body, that really takes you away from your head and your mind. Because we do need to work with our mind. I think people think we need to just eradicate any thinking. That's a huge part of us, our mind. So it's about working with the mind. And the way that I do that is just very, very simply through the breath. So it might be an elongated exhale, for example. So that helps us shift from our sympathetic nervous system to our parasympathetic, which takes us away from that kind of panic or that fight or flight and into that kind of much more calm natured feeling. The other thing that I do as well, and this is just something I've learned more recently, but I actually just place my hand on my heart. And for me, there's a connection there. As soon as I do that, part of what I'm doing is connecting with my body, but actually part of what I'm doing is connecting with my inner child. So when I put my hand on my heart, my little me that sits within me, I always feel her put her hand on her heart as well. And we're like, it's like we're connecting. So it sounds quite strange, but I just do that. And it's just when I can connect with her, like the little version of me, and I can tell her that she's safe and that she doesn't need to worry and that, you know, I've got this, something shifts within me. So it's a combination of the breath and that, just having my hand in my heart. And I think it might look a little bit strange, or you might feel like it does. I think people that know me, like, I quite often have my hand in my heart because I'm tuning into love. Cause I really feel like, well, we are all just pure love at our core. So for me, that's my way of remembering, like, if I feel scared, like, we're all love. So like, whatever you're feeling in any moment and whatever you're assuming is going on around you, just remembering that very, very simple thing is really powerful.
So powerful. Yeah, I think it's such a beautiful practice. It's not silly at all. And and what a beautiful way of honoring yourself. And we all have these parts within us. We truly all have these parts. And so a lot of work I do with clients is inner child work. I definitely do my own inner child work. And I remember years ago hearing from Rick Hansen, who's a psychologist who I think his latest book was called Resilient. Just absolutely a brilliant book. And when I had him on the show, I spoke with him about this, and he said, just putting your hand on your heart, like, it releases these chemicals in our brain that are so, it's like these comforting, soothing chemicals. So it makes so much sense. And how beautiful, you know, tuning into your love, tuning into that little girl who, I think, you know, those parts of us that were wounded as children, we have to keep, it's like we're on the healing journey with that part of us. And so oftentimes, you know, when we talk about getting triggered, you know, everybody hears about that. Oh, I got triggered. Sometimes people get angry, or sometimes they're sad or anxious. It's the unhealed parts of ourselves. So whether we, you know, identify with them as, oh, the little girl, the little boy in me, that's literally what it is. It's, you know, oh, it's really my six-year-old wound is up, or my 13-year-old rebellious teenager is up, you know? And so I think what a beautiful way of befriending those parts of ourselves by just reaching in. And I love the imagery of reaching back out.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, most of our trauma happens between 0 and 7 years old. So it really is like a little child within you that's scared, and they just need to know that they're safe. And when I tune into my inner child, I then, if I'm scared in a room of people, I then start to imagine everybody in that room as a child. And I think about them as like just this little kid who just wants to be loved, because ultimately that's what we all want. Like, we all just want to be loved and accepted. So if I like tune into my inner child and I can start to imagine everybody else is in there, you're just like, I don't know, like any armor that you're wearing is just like released, and you're just like, oh, we're all in this together. So it just releases that fear and yeah, brings you back to your body.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love that image too, of just, you know, like a bunch of kids. We're a bunch of kids sitting around in this room.
Yeah. Just like, what do kids want to do? They just want to play. They just want to be loved. They just want to belong. And when you realize that we're kind of I'm sure pretty much every single one of us feels, you know, has those desires and has those needs. It just simplifies everything. It just helps you remember how simple life is.
Yeah. Yeah. We overcomplicate it when we live too much in our heads. And this is such a great reminder about living in our hearts. Thank you, Joy. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of this conversation with Joey Hurl, and just learning about how we can awaken the joy within. We'll be right back.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. I just wanted to let you know that please, I've always got things going on, events and different things. My movie has actually just been released. We don't have it out for public viewing yet, but when Sparks Ignite is coming out, and you can see a trailer to that film on my website, stephaniejames.world. And also, you can sign up for a free exploratory call, a 20-minute call with me, and get a free gift, which is my Igniting the Sparks Within visualization. Love to share those gifts with you. And just want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm just loving this conversation with Joey Hurl. Joey, thank you so much. Love having you on the show. So let's dive a little bit deeper. You know, you've been so gracious sharing some of your story with us. And I think, you know, our stories are what help us connect to one another because we can see ourselves more clearly in one another, even though each one of us has this really unique and beautiful story to share. You know, tell us a little bit more about this journey that you've been on, because it, you know, the spiritual awakening sounds like it was 6 or 7 years ago, and yet there's a lot of story behind that.
Yeah, for sure. Goodness, my story, I mean, as it does for all of us, really begins in childhood. I was surrounded by a lot of anxiety, and I've been around a lot of depression with family and friends across my lifetime. So there's a real fire within me to support people through those darker times and to help them move from darker times into joy, because it's exactly what I've had to do myself. I think the beauty of where I'm at now and being able to look back, I think I've had to go to the depths. I've had to fully experience, you know, to be honest, the depths of depression and extreme anxiety, to be able to fully embody the practices that have taken me from that place to a place of joy and a lot more freedom, a lot more mental freedom. So, yeah, when I was younger, a family member tried to take their own life, and that had a big impact on my story. And at university, a friend of mine did take his own life, and more recently, my cousin took his own life, and I've just been kind of surrounded by that for as long as I can remember. And to be honest, for a very long time, I was very obviously resistant to wanting that to be my journey too. So I would do anything possible to try and find happiness. And at the time that would be, I guess I didn't really know that happiness is a lifelong journey. It's not like a destination that you reach. It's just, you know, it's something that we're, working towards always. There's always going to be something that, you know, that we can, especially, you know, when we're integrating our shadow, there's always going to be something that comes up, something that triggers us, that when you have more wisdom and when you've been working through these practices for longer, you can take a step back and think, okay, this has triggered me. Why is that? Where did that come from? And then work through that. But I think for a long time, I just thought, well, if I get to this point, if I, you know, meet my person, if I own a house, if I study this and, I don't know, how get, you know, get this job, then I'll be happy. And I think so many of us do that. And for me, it was like there was a real kind of drive to do that because I didn't want to be in that space where I was so unhappy that I might be depressed, or I was so unhappy that I might feel anxious every day. And I think almost the striving to be happy made me unhappy for a long time. Because like I said before, I always felt like I was trying to fix something. I always felt like there was something wrong with me that needed to change, that needed fixing to be able to reach that point of happiness. For many years that really was how I lived life. And it's not like I was, you know, unhappy all the time. Like I've always been surrounded by wonderful friends, and I feel like I've had some incredible adventures, you know, traveling and being at university and moving to Australia and lots of beautiful adventures. But probably sitting beneath all of that was just this like desire to get to a certain point so I'd be happy. I think more recently, especially I've just recently actually finished studying tantric hatha, which is a form of yoga. And a big theme or concept that sits behind that tradition is the ease and flow of life, and also getting to a point of living joyfully, which really is a state of being. It's not somewhere that you try and get to. So the last couple of years, I have been on a very, very deep, intense healing journey, and I've gone to the depths to really explore where the trauma for me has come from. Going back and sitting with my inner child, and you know, chatting to her, and there's been a number of experiences, which I'm sure we all have, you know, which we call trauma. Especially between the ages of 0 and 7, where there could have been one thing said to me that wasn't necessarily meant as something, you know, awful or mean, but it's then impacted my whole life and the way that I've lived my life. And so this journey that I've been on has been going really, really deep into each of those kind of moments in life, or those little bits of trauma in life, and just reprogramming those and sitting with like my inner child and being like, as older me, sitting with little me and saying, it's okay. Like, I've got you, like, you don't have to worry, or whatever, what do you need in this moment to try and heal what happened? So that's kind of where I was. And I think because I've been on this deep healing journey, I have gone to the depths of depression, and I've had extreme anxiety over the last couple of years. I think part of that is a huge death of my ego and everything I knew about myself, this kind of story or this mask that I'd kind of built up, I thought I wanted everybody to see this kind of version of me. And I was definitely wearing a mask for a long time. And I think this last couple of years, it's just been about removing that mask and being okay with me exactly as I am at my core. And it's been painful. It has been a very, very hard journey. But now I've come through the other side of it. I can't tell you how light I feel and how joyful I feel and how different my state of mind is. You know, even if I go through something hard now, as opposed to, you know, life's a roller coaster, so we're always going to be a little bit, you know, there's always going to be something that might happen, and then we can bring ourselves back up. I think before this journey, and a lot of people will be like this, there's like a, you know, you're kind of up here and then you're taken down here, and you bring yourself back up and then you're taken down here. Whereas when you come to a place of really living a joyful existence, using various practices that I can talk more to, you're more like this. So like, if anything does happen, that's normal, that's human, so we're all going to go through things, but you don't go so far down. You just kind of, you're just here, you just work out what that is, bring yourself back up to here. So there's just this real kind of ease and flow with life that I'm now experiencing, and that to me is joy. And the beauty of my journey is now that I have truly experienced the depths of depression and extreme anxiety, when I work with people who are experiencing that and they want to move away from that, I can truly understand and feel how they're feeling in that moment. I can truly tune into how lost you can feel and how life can feel like it has no meaning at times. And you can feel like you're questioning everything, you know, friendships, career, relationships, everything. But I also know that there are very, very powerful, simple tools that can gradually take you from that place and into this beautiful space of joy.
So powerful. Yeah, I truly believe, again, when you're sharing, I think even of myself as a therapist or any kind of healer like yourself, if we read it in a book, it doesn't cut it. You know, it's like, yeah, we can be empathetic with someone, we can have a lot of compassion, but there is nothing like having experienced an anxiety attack or been in that place where you're like at the depth of your soul or the end of your being. Yeah. And then you're better able to hold other people within that. And so such a powerful story of transformation. And I just thank you. I just, again, just really honor who you are and how you show up. And for sharing that. And I just feel this beautiful, you have this excitement about you. And from the moment I met you, just this contagious joy. That's really lovely.
That's so kind. Thank you.
Thank you. But it's true. And I think that kind of joy does come from diving in and doing this deep level of authentic work where we're really willing to rip off the mask and let the ego go. It's not that we don't have a little ego. It's not about that, but the ego can serve us in a different way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think something I've realized more recently is you can almost become addicted to the journey as well. So that's something just to be aware of. So I live, I know you mentioned before, in a place called Byron Bay in Australia. And it is this incredible epicenter, this tiny little sleepy town, but it's this epicenter of kind of spiritual humans and beautiful humans coming together to create massive change in the world. So when you come here, they say that you're drawn in. There's this giant crystal that actually sits below Byron Bay, and they say that that draws you in, and you're either kept here to go on this big journey, which is definitely what I've been on, or it kind of spits you out. Like, a lot of people just can't handle the energy because it's like you have to go deep when you move here. And I think because of the powerful energy around, it can almost become addictive to want to keep doing different processes and keep healing different things and different parts of you. And then I think when you're doing that, you're forgetting to integrate the shadow. So it's almost like you're almost accidentally coming back to that feeling of needing to fix and to keep healing to get to that place of happiness. So something, goodness, even in the last couple of months, I've really tuned into is really taking a breath on this journey and realizing how far I've come, like really, truly honoring myself for the journey that I've been on and being okay with just being exactly how I am in this moment and loving that person, you know, every single side of me. I think as long as we're always tuning in to our inner wisdom, I think you can't go wrong. So if, you know, I meditate every day, and I'll tell you about the form of meditation because it's such a beautiful practice. I move my body every day. I practice Manakai, so the breath work and the movement. And when I do that, I'm moving away from the external kind of physical world and into my inner world. And when we do that and we tune into, you know, our soul, like the core of who we are, you really can't go wrong in life. And what I've realized recently when I have tuned in is there's nothing that I need to do right now. Like I've brought myself to this beautiful point of joy and ease of life and flow of life. And right now in this moment, I don't feel any need to be going through any form of any process, anything to, you know, unearth any, you know, anything else from my past. I'm not saying that won't come up again, but I think it's really good to be conscious of the fact that it can become a bit of addictive to even being, you know, to be on this journey of healing. But as long as we kind of sit with our hearts and really tune into like our subtle body and our inner world and listen to what messages come through by doing that, I think you know when it's time to maybe do something else. But right now I feel in a really good space of all I want to do is experience joy every day. And that might just be so simple, you know, just going for dinner with friends. It might be, you know, working on Manakai and growing Manakai. That's my dream right now. There's just, might be just playing with my puppy. There's like so much simplicity in life. And that's for me where joy comes from right now.
Beautiful. You know, and before we are out of time, I was hoping to, what is a morning practice that you do or teach others to do to help people to get into this space?
Yeah, good question. I love morning routines or morning rituals. So everybody's practice, you know, can look very different, like according to their lifestyle, you know, whether they've got kids, whether they've got more time in the morning. But the stage I'm at in life right now, I have a puppy, which is kind of like my child. But other than that, it's just me. So I have a lot of kind of freedom to make my morning routine whatever I want it to be. So as soon as I wake up, I have a hot lemon water. So that really helps to cleanse my body and get the digestive system working, and just like a really beautiful, fresh way of waking up. Then I will sit and I'll meditate. So I'm currently practicing a form of meditation called Vishuddha meditation, which kind of sits within the tantric practices. And it's very much kind of energy based, all focused around your prana and your life force. It's something I'm actually doing teacher training in right now to be able to bring to the world. So I'm very excited about that in maybe 6 months or so. So I meditate for maybe between half an hour to an hour. Then I do a bit of a journaling practice. So I find journaling so powerful because it kind of takes everything from your mind, puts it on a page, which then helps you tune back into your body and your heart. So I think that's super powerful. Even if some days you just literally write, today I'm feeling this, you know, quite often I'll ask myself, what's my greatest challenge today? What's that teaching me, and how can I move through that challenge? So that's quite a nice way of waking up in the morning to really just sit with that and think, like, where am I and where can I get to? And then I always incorporate movement. So sometimes that might be before my meditation practice, and sometimes it might be after. I just tune in to how I feel in the day. But at the moment, because I'm evolving the Mauna Kea practice, it's just playing with movement and that kind of freedom and that liberation, you know, behind moving your body and releasing those endorphins. Sometimes it's, you know, a stronger practice, and there's a lot around kind of really awakening your inner warrior that I'm focusing on right now, and that fire within you. Sometimes it's just a softer practice because that's what my body needs in the moment. So I'm very in tune with what I need in each moment, which is another beautiful part of this journey that I've been on. So that's pretty much how it looks. It can be, to be honest, up to like 3 hours. And I also take my puppy out. And because I'm living in like a little rainforest, which you can kind of see behind, it's actually such a beautiful nurturing space to really connect in with nature and connect with the elements, you know, all of the different elements around us. And again, just such a magical way to start the day. So that is my morning routine.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think those are all just essential elements. Like you said, such beautiful ways of tapping in and listening to ourselves and being in that inner dialogue to start the morning off in that way is such a powerful practice. You know, as we're coming just about to the end of our time, it's gone by so fast, and I just could talk to you for hours. I'm wondering for you, what is the essential message that you want to leave with the listeners?
I think really what the message that I want to bring to the world is every single one of us has access to this feeling of joy. And no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through right now, by moving from our head to our hearts and moving from our head to into our bodies, every single one of us has access to that feeling of joy because it's our true nature. Love and joy are our absolute true nature. So I think, you know, a lot of us are experiencing a lot of anxiety, you know, with the uncertainty and there is so much fear around at the moment. So I guess the big message is, no matter what you're experiencing, joy is possible. And often it is just some really simple techniques that you can use in any moment just to bring you back to that, to move you away from fear and into joy.
Thank you so much. I love that. I absolutely believe that. And it's sometimes, as you shared earlier, as simple as getting in touch with our breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do people get in touch with you? How can they find you and your work to be a part of what you do?
So my business is called Joga Wellness. So on Instagram, it's just at Joga Wellness. My website is Joga Wellness. Mauna Kea, the practice, sits within that website as well. So and on the Mauna Kea section of the website, you can sign up for classes internationally. There's live classes that I do online, and there's lots of exciting workshops coming up as well. And something else that I'm about to launch in the new year is a mentorship program, which really incorporates everything that I've learned over the last, goodness, 10 to 20 years, and brings it all into a mentorship so that I can help people move from wherever they're at right now into this space of joy.
So exciting. And I'll have that address for people in our show notes today so people can absolutely find you. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your light with all of us and being such an amazing spark in this world.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.